Well, today we're going back into talking about prayer, going back into talking about project prayer, building a house of prayer, building all the things that God's called us to do. If you're here last week, then you started to hear about it. If you didn't, well, let me tell you about it today. And if you didn't, if you want to know more, then check out last week's as well. Just go back into YouTube or go back into podcast and check it out. But we know that God's doing something significant. And this is significant for us as a church and will be for years to come. It might be August. And depending on what part of the world you're in, sometimes August is one of those months where you start to lie low again, recover, get ready for school terms to come. But I tell you what, God has just put something on our spirits, and we are getting rallied and we're getting ready because he's about to do something incredible. Let me just ask the Lord to bless our time, and then we're going for it in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for all you're going to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, come and get us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about going deep and wide. You know, remember that song, Deep and Wide, Deep and Wide? There's a fountain flowing, deep and wide, plunge right in, lose your sin. I mean, this just really old school song. If you don't know it, YouTube it and just have a right old laugh, because it is a good song. Very simple, but it has an incredibly powerful meaning. And I feel like this is important for us at this stage. We're going to build a house of prayer. God said it. We're going after it. 6 days a week, 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, evening, and we're going to have prayer covering all of those slots. In fact, already we've got 15 people signed up. We have every single slot covered and more than once, which is incredible. But we want to flood everybody in. We want you to be a part of this thing, because prayer changes me and you. That's what it does. And I need change that hopefully you've realized you need. Changed. So we're going after this thing, and we're going after it with passion and persistence, because if we're going to do this thing, we've got to go for it. Most of the things of God happens when we get consistent and persistent, and we keep going at it, not just praying once it's done, it's over. Now, that can happen, but God wants to see our faithfulness. He wants to see us walk faithfully, consistently, persistently, and passionately. Because come on, if we're going to pray, we are going to pray with faith, and that's going to come out in good ways. And so we said it last time, we can't win alone, and we are not going to win alone. In fact, we might win some things alone, but what happens when you lose? It's no fun on your own. So we want to win together, and we want to lose together, because then we're stronger and we're better, and it's the way of the kingdom. You see, our heart is this. We want to see all the promises that God has spoken over our church, over this city, over the nation fulfilled. And we're going to be the ones to stand in the gap. We're going to cover it with prayer, morning, afternoon, evening. We're going to see these things come to pass. Sometimes we're going to push it through in prayer. Sometimes we're going to uphold it in prayer. And sometimes we're going to rejoice in prayer. We're going to sustain ourselves in prayer. We are going to build a house of prayer that will radically transform out of everything. And we already have 18 slots, which to me feels like 18 times better than we did before, because before it was disjointed. Now we're starting to cover it like a blanket. It will be absolutely incredible. And maybe we're just going to smother down some things that have got in the way. When the enemy tries to move, we smother him. The tactics of the enemy come, we smother him with prayer. What a great way to do it, with prayer and with supplication, and do it all through the ways and the faith that we have in Jesus. So really what we're talking about is a call to action, and it's a call to pray. And we want to pray. And we want to pray because we want to see mountains move. We want to see ourselves change. We want to see our city change. And we want to see our God fulfill all the promises that he has in this city. So if you haven't signed up yet, here's the plug right from the start. Get signed up. Get on our website. Get signed up. Get online. Send us a message if you're not sure where to go. But get signed up, because we want to make sure that we're building a house of prayer. And we need you in, because you are the living stones. You are the people and the men and women of God. And your voice is powerful. That's why God has you here, to use your voice with faith. Because there's life and death in your tongue. And it's time to speak words of life and transformation that's going to bring healing like you cannot believe. And we will see our city transformed. So we're saying deep and wide today. And it is a fun song, but I tell you what, there's something about that song that has unbelievable power in it, and it comes from some key verses in the Bible. Here's what it says in Ephesians 3:16. It says, I pray. Now notice what Paul is doing here. He's doing something which we're going to do, which is to pray. And he says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. You're like, wow, this is a big prayer. By his riches in Christ Jesus in your inner being. What an unbelievable prayer. This is starting off big. This is a big prayer. It's like Paul knows how to pray. He knows how to pray with faith, and he knows how to pray big, because he knows our God is deep. And so he says, we're going to pray for that first. And then he says, because so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He wants the men and women of Ephesus. This is the final word of encouragement he's going to give the people. He wants them to know some things. He says to them, hey, not the final, but in the middle. And he's saying, hey, guys, I want you to know this stuff. You've got to get this into your souls. This is going to transform you. He says, so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, because it has to be through faith. And then he says, I pray as well. I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Rooted and established in love. Check out these words. These are big, significant words that will forever change us, so that you may have power together. Notice the word together, with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ. In other words, this love that we can get into, this, the love of God, is beyond comprehension. Don't you know that the only reason we build skyscrapers is because we don't have the footprint to go wide? I mean, what's the point of going high if you can go wide? But we know there's not enough wide, so we go high. I mean, this is not the same in the kingdom of God. He says, I want you to go wide and deep. For the purpose of go high if you need to. But you know what I'm saying? We're going wide and we're going deep. And as a church, this is what we're going to do. We are going to be men and women that won't just have a point. We will have a bulldozer point. That won't just have a point here and a point there and a point there. No. We will push some things. We will move some things because we are deep and we are wide. Just like what God says about his love. You see, this is why we need to go deeper into the things of God, because there's always more. There's always more that he has for us. See, as we go deep, we'll go deep in the Bible, we'll go deep in worship, we'll go deep in prayer. But then why? We'll go high in our influence. We'll go high in our reach, because we want to reach and see as many people as possible come to faith and be baptized and made disciples of Christ. That is our heart in this church. And I believe that's your heart as well. Otherwise, what's the point of being tuned in? Come on. This is what God is doing in you. Verse 18. That you may have power together with Christ's holy people to grasp how high, how wide, how long, and how deep the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now think about this. This is an outrageous prayer. Paul's now saying, I want you to know the vastness of God. And God, the universe can't hold him. The earth can't hold him. The galaxy can't hold him. The heavens can't hold him. He fills everything. He was outside of everything. And yet Paul says that the fullness of God will come and rest in the believers. Wow. How does he even know to pray like this? Because he knows the word of God. He knows the depths of God. Or he's starting to get a glimpse of the depths of God. And he's starting to pray like this. What an outrageous, incredible, precision, Bible-based prayer that will forever change your life. I mean, here's the question. How many people are you praying like this for? How many people? No, I'm serious. I'm not just meaning this as a joke. I'm saying, how many people are we seriously praying like this for? Because this is incredible. That you would know that by the riches of his glory, that your innermost parts be strengthened. Why? Because at the end of the prayer, Paul's going to believe that the fullness of God would dwell in you. I mean, then this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. This is why he's always bringing us from glory to glory. This is why he says there's greater in you than he in the world. This is why he says you have no understanding really of how much is inside of you, because you have the fullness of God. Wow. Church, we are going to pray. And when we pray, it's going to be like we're going to pour out. And as we pour out, things are going to be changed forever. For just like forever, because there's so much inside of us, the fullness of God. This is why we're building a house of prayer. Because I believe we've got to raise the bar. We've got to lift the lid. We've got to raise the level and see the fullness of God move through us into this broken world. And we're not going to talk broken all the time, because this broken world is getting better because we're here and the presence of God is moving. And I know we're in the last days, but if we're in the last days, then there's a revival coming like you cannot believe. Let's not focus on the last days always being negative and bad and broken. It's like, oh, it's the last days. No. Let's be excited. If we are in the last days, then get ready for revival like we've never seen before, because that's what the Lord promises. A beautiful bride. Without spot or wrinkle. Revival is on the way. Let's be a part of it. And if we can usher it in, if we can bring it in with prayer, then let's be the men and women that will do it. Prayer is how we go deeper, but it's also how we release the deeper. Do you notice that when Paul spoke it in Ephesians 3? It's how we go deeper, but it's how we release deeper. Prayer is how we access all that God has, but it also allows us to release like God. Because we say, okay, what's in me? Let it go. What's in me? Pour it out. And let's see the city transform. Ask, we ask, he gives. We listen, we receive. We read, we become. Because of the word. We worship, we are transformed. And look at what's possible. He said, rooted and established in love. In other words, zero room for fear. Wow. Come on. This is what God has a dream for in each one of our hearts. This is where we're going to bring to our city. A city without fear. What would it look like? A city without fear because it's so saturated, rooted and established with God's love. Wow. Ushered in by the men and women of prayer. In fact, does anything happen without prayer? Did anybody get saved without prayer? Absolutely, I don't know. Absolutely not. Number two, power together to grasp how incredible Jesus is. This is why we're praying. This is what we get. We get power to grasp just how incredible he is. He's so much better than we know. And then we're filled with the fullness of God. Wow. God's heart is that all will get this and that we together would be a blessing to the people around us. See, we're making a change. We're making a change from me-focused prayer to we-focused prayer. It's not we and thy, but it's we in our workplace and we in our families and we in the community and we in the city and wherever we find ourselves, we are together and we're here to do something. If we want to go fast, go alone. If we want to go far, go together. African proverb. Been to Africa many times. This is what they tell us. And I'm telling you, this stands true and it proves true from the word of God. And so during August, we're building a house of prayer. This is what we're about. This is what we are about, and I want you to be a part of it. Number one, we're building a foundation, and it's deep and wide. And what I love about this is think about it. Think of a Monday morning when it's just like the worst week is about to start of your life, and suddenly you remember, oh my goodness, I've got a church that's praying for me right now because there's people on the morning slot. Or you get to Wednesday, and exam season is on you, and you've had the worst exam of your life, and you're getting ready to do another one, or at least you think it's the worst, and sometimes it can turn out better than you expect. It's belief for that. And you're getting ready for the second exam of the afternoon, and you're dreading it, and then suddenly over lunch you remember, but my church is praying. Come on. Something begins to rise up inside of you because the power of God and the fullness of God. Suddenly you remind yourself that you have this and you begin to flow, which is absolutely incredible. Imagine that. See, September, we're building in August. In September, we're going to open the doors wide open and we're going to begin to pray. And I say, get ready. If you want to warm up in the meantime, I'll throw permission. And then another dream that we've just been birthing over this last week or two is what would it look like on a Wednesday morning, 9:30 to 11:30 in our new studio office out the back here, out in front of our building, that we have prayer and healing rooms. And the city knows if we get there, they'll pray for me and I'll see breakthrough. If I can get there, I can get healed. If I could get down there, something would happen because they realize there's men and women of faith in that room. And if I get into that room of faith, everyone else has to go. Come on, church, this is what we're building. We're getting serious because God has called us to something important. And so why are we praying? Maybe you're saying to yourself, what on earth are you praying for? Like, God already knows everything. Like, why are we praying? Well, here's what I'm saying. Number one thing to think about of why we pray, because it changes things. And it changes me. And I don't know if you've looked in the mirror recently, but you might need some changes. And the mirror may not be the physical one on the wall. You might have to ask a couple of friends. And they go, well, like, I honestly want us to be. If they give you that response, then you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble. Or, like, just, you know, be okay. God's going to get you through. The Holy Spirit's going to work. And then, hey, if they say that about you, then maybe you can open up on them. But remember, we're doing things in love and by grace. But come on, seriously, we're praying because we know there's changes needs to happen in me. And as I begin to pray, suddenly I start to realize, wow, is he strengthening me in the innermost being? Did I realize that the riches of God's glory are available and they're working and they're trying to work in me? God, come and work in me. Or did I realize that if I believe and if I get another buddy praying with me and believing, we can see mountains move? No, I didn't know this. Okay, I need to get people. It starts to change me from the inside out. And it begins to change our city. And we start to see our city changed, our families changed, our workplaces, our friends, our nation. Our nation changed. And we need this. Because all we hear all the time is negative news. And Christians are sometimes the best at, oh, world's going apart. Oh, people aren't interested. Blah, blah, blah. And we're speaking death, 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 death. And we're wondering why things aren't going to change. Let's start to speak life, 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 life. And even though you look out, sometimes you ever been out, and you say to yourself, nothing's ever going to grow there. And you come back in 6 months, and it's like, wow. Something's growing. Now, it may just be weeds, but if weeds can grow, other good things can grow if you could tend the ground. Sometimes you look at things and you write it off. You say, no, it's never changing. They're never changing. It's only going from bad to worse. Is it really? Or do the words that you speak powerful? Or are your prayers powerful? Or who are you praying to? Because remember, prayer is simply a conversation. What if we're all talking, But we're just not talking the right stuff, and we're not talking to the right person. Because we can talk, and we can listen. But I want to hear from heaven, and I want to speak the words of God. Because when I do, somebody's going to have to get down. Something's going to have to move, and somebody's going to have to flee. Because when his word goes forth, demons move, things move, mountains move, people move, the enemy moves, life changes, the world begins to move. Everything starts to get affected because of the goodness and the grace of God. And so let me tell you about the sweet grace of God that's in us today. Zechariah, Jesus actually fulfilled this promise. Spoke this way thousands of years before. And then Jesus comes. Zechariah 12:10. Look what he says. I will pour out. This was the Lord inspiring. And he began to speak as the prophet. He says, I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Who does the Spirit sound like? The Holy Spirit. But it cannot be. This is not Old Testament times. This was what was to come. Prophetic of what would to come with the cross and the Holy Spirit. Then they will look on to me. I wonder what they mean by me. If you've got your Bible out, there's a couple of N in there, which shows me. That's talking about Jesus, whom they pierced. And now we know for sure it's Jesus, because he's the only one. Yes, they will mourn for him, capital H, as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him, capital H, as one grieves for a firstborn. See, here's the good news, church. This was prophetic all those years ago, saying that Jesus was coming one day. Well, here's the good news. Jesus has come. And as he left, he said, you're going to do greater things than me. Outrageous. Outrageous. He said, you're going to do greater things than me. And he released us, and he left us the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said this, I will pour out on the house of David. We are the children of God. This is who we are. On the inhabitants of Jerusalem, we are the men and women of God. The spirit of grace and supplication. And supplication just means prayer. Just means prayer in a simple, just for a simple way for you to understand it. That he would pour out the spirit of grace and prayer. God is pouring out his sweet grace on us. He wants to pour this out on his house. He wants us to be a house of prayer. He wants it to be a place where people will come and transformation will take place. And he wants to see it come out. Remember what Paul said? It's like the fullness of God with us. And as we pray, we just begin to release it. It's like if we could see in the Spirit, we would just begin to see rivers of love, rivers of living water just flowing through this whole city, coming from the source, right here. Men and women of God, or wherever we go, just many rivers coming from us, because we are the house of the Lord. We are the men and women of God. And so, are you going to join us? This is really the only question. God's going to bring the right things into focus, and the wrong things are going to go blurry. I think this is so crucial. I thought this was a strong word from God this week. The Holy Spirit put in my heart saying this, that right now, things are going to go the reverse. For some of us, maybe for you right now, you're saying, actually, God feels a bit blurry. You know what I mean? It's like you're looking for God, you can't hear him, you can't see him. It's like you're not enjoying certain things, worship, prayer, all of that. It's got a bit blurry. It's like out of focus. And then suddenly God realizes and you get a touch from him, or the Holy Spirit begins to move and you begin to pray. And maybe even right now, you're starting to feel convicted. And then suddenly things start to come into focus. The right things come into focus. And that's what I believe today, that the right things are coming into focus. And the other things that aren't what you need or no good are just suddenly going blurry. Just God's doing this, and this is what we need. But I ask the question, right now, maybe God is blurry. But are you ready for a change? Because this is what we're doing. We're going into a house of prayer. We're going to be men and women that are going to cover ground. And here's the thing, none of us have to pray the whole week long. If you want to, go for it. But I would suggest if you're not used to that, you will not make it. But what God wants is that. Pick a slot or two. Go consistently. Stick it for 6 months. I say stick it because sometimes it is a bit like sticking it. And then it becomes your desire. Because remember, what becomes your love is what you focus on. The things you start to give your attention to, what gets your focus, starts to become your love. When you meet that girl, you meet that boy, depending on who you are, then at the start, you could say you love them, but you don't really know if you love them. But as time goes, you begin to love them. Why? Because your focus is on. Your focus. And it might be the same for you with God. And you say, well, I love to pray, but just not really feeling the urge to, just not feeling the want to, feeling the desire to. I tell you this, it's only because you're not focused on him or the things of God. But when you begin to focus on the things of God, get ready for something to take place. Do it by faith in spite of your feelings. Do it by faith in spite of your feelings and watch how the Lord starts to work things through. Maybe your life is blurry and this is how it's going to come back into focus as you would focus on Jesus. Matthew 21:12 says this, Jesus entered the temple courts Now, I got to set the scene just for a moment. This is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He's on the way. We just spoke about Jerusalem. Here's Jesus actually coming in now to fulfill this prophetic word. And he's coming in all these years later, and he's on the colt, and he's coming in, and, you know, he's triumphant, and people are praising. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, this is the king. This is the only one we want. But remember, by the end of the week, the same guy's going to put him on the cross. Same guys. But Jesus enters and he comes to the temple courts. The temple courts was the outer courts, and then we go into the inner courts, which would be where the actual inner sanctuary is, the Holy of Holies. Would there be another part which would be the Holy of Holies? But you go from outer court to inner court and then Holy of Holies. And remember, no one could go to that Holy of Holies. But Jesus was on the way to making the rent veil, the veil that was separating the two. He was coming to remove it. It couldn't have been removed earlier, because if anybody went in there with sin in their heart, then you die instantly. That's what happened over generations. But Jesus was coming to the cross to defeat sin once and for all. And then when we go to the inner, the Holy of Holies, that inner sanctuary where the Lord wants us to be, the heart of God, instead of being wiped out, because the presence of God always wipes out sin, we're preserved. We're kept. We're loved. We're cherished because the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow. This is why Jesus is so absolutely incredible. But it says when he got to the temple courts, he got disturbed. He drove out all who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them all. Church, here's what God's saying. He said, it's not that, are we wrong because sometimes we do parties on a Saturday or we do this or we do that? No, absolutely not. But here's what he's saying is, Jesus wants his house to be a house of prayer. It's going to be a place where the Spirit of God resides. It's going to be a place where people can come freely to. You're not going to be charged to come in. It's where people come freely. We're not going to get focused on the wrong things. It's not a transactional faith. It's not a monotonous faith. It's not a faith that you just, it's that self-serving. I got Jesus because I needed the ticket to heaven. You know, it's not that kind of faith. It's one where you come in and it's love and it's devotion and it's heart cries and it's hunger and it's passion and it's messy. Because people are coming in broken and they're getting healed. People are coming in one way, but they're leaving different. People are coming in with all sorts of heartaches and hurts and pains and regrets and shame and condemnation. And they're coming like free men and women because of the house of God being a house of prayer. Why? Because God's over this house. And we're praying and we're hearing from heaven and we're praying on heaven's behalf and in God's behalf. And he's moving things and people's lives are being transformed. See, but my house is supposed to be alive. That's what Jesus said. A people fully alive, not someone who's just going through the motions, not apathy or empathy or staleness. And you know, you ever have that moment where, just like I had this week, you go to get bread from the bread bin and I find like it's all stale, it's all gone. But actually, a lot of times we're eating stale bread that we just get fooled by because we don't, it hasn't begun to form like the blue dots, you know, like the mold. It hasn't formed that yet, but it's right on the verge. And if you get used to eating stale, then I mean, and if you don't notice it, you'll eat it, you'll go for it. And I think as Christians, we've got to remind ourselves that we're not in for the stale or the blue moldy. We're coming for the fresh, because God is freshness for us, and God is life. And Jesus said, when you come to me, you'll never thirst again, because I have continuous flow of life that will work through your life. Remember the fullness of God. Don't settle for anything less. And if we're not praying like Ephesians 3, 16, 17, and 18, then God wants to do something in your life, because he says, I need you to pray like this for the city. I need you like to be the secret agent, those public missionaries. I need you to be like me in the city, just everywhere you go, just bringing the fullness of God, because you know that the fullness of God rests in you. Jesus got serious. When he went into this temple, he was not messing about. He actually came with a whip and he drove out the wrong. He drove it out. He drove the people out. Because he said, my house cannot be built on fear and manipulation and just going through the motion. My house is going to be built on love alone. My house is going to be built on devotion and people that are persistent in prayer and passionate in prayer and people that will forgive and not hold it against. People that will let go and move forward and accept and be there for each other. Because my people are going to be known as a people of prayer. People that hear my voice and move through the things of God. And I finish with this today. Where are you today in your life? Where are you with all of this? Where are you with all of this when it comes to prayer, when it comes to reading, when it comes to the things of God? You know, Acts chapter 2, I absolutely love it. I love the start and I love the end. The middle's tough. Because here's what it says in the middle. Start, the Holy Spirit is poured out. But the end, it's like just like revival living. But just near the end, middle end, here's what it says. Peter spoke. It says, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter the apostle, brothers, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They finally got a glimpse and a realization that they were the ones that crucified Jesus, the ones who were supposed to love him and recognize him, the Savior that they waited for. Imagine waiting for your true love for centuries, thousands of years, and then you miss him, and not only miss him, but you crucify him. It was horrendous. It says they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. What if today the Lord needs to cut us to the heart? Not because he wants to wound us, because he doesn't like us or he wants to condemn us, but we're cut to the heart because we're convicted that we're not living the way that God's called us to live. Not in our own strength, but in his strength, because we know he's got so much more. Because we're convicted of our sins, and we come to him and we do what the early disciples did and what the early believers did, and 3,000 was added to the number that day. They repented and prayed. We're going to repent and pray. And we're going to say, Lord, I want you to search my heart. I want you to cut my heart today if you need to, because I want to be after your things. And I know I'm getting focused on other things, and they're not necessarily wrong, but I want to go after your things. Or maybe there is some things that are not right, and God, I need to make changes. There are grudges there. There are regrets there. There's sin there. And that is not it. And so God, cut me to the heart, because I don't want to be fooled by sin. I don't want to be fooled by grudges. I don't want to be fooled by the bait of Satan and by the things that he covers and blinds me up. Lord, show me, cut me with the heart of the Spirit. Cut me with the heart of your word, because it says the word is sharper than a two-edged sword and it cuts through the motives of the heart. So that's what we're going to pray today. Come on, church. We're going to build a house of prayer, but to do that, we've got to get real. And to do that, we've got to get real with God, allow him to speak to our hearts, and then we repent and pray. And suddenly things start to move. Come on, search our hearts. Come on, let's pray today. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. And I pray for them right from the beginning, Lord, if we're far from you, don't know you, then we're putting our trust in Jesus. Lord, if we have never put our trust in you, today is the day to do it. Lord, I give you my life. I ask you to take away my sins. I ask you to give me a brand new start in you. Give me your Spirit, Lord, and make me a new creation in Christ. Lord, that's what we pray today for anybody that needs it. And if you need that today, say yes right now with boldness. Go for it. Yes to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for anyone that would make that decision, and I believe that they would. But Lord, I pray for us as Christians. I pray for those of us as believers, Lord, that we would be cut to the heart with anything and anyone that would get in the way, any idol, any sin, any things that would get in the way. And we would ask you, Lord, to come and renew your right spirit in us, because we are going forward in the things of God, and we're here to say yes to your heart and yes to your house. Lord, thank you for selfishness coming to an end in Jesus' name. Thank you for me focus coming to an end. Thank you for me focused prayers coming to an end, and selfish living and selfish lifestyles coming to an end. And we say we're going for we and us and together. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to help us, enable us, and that you're right here to call us forward with love, with grace, and with mercy. Jesus, we love you. In your precious name, amen.